It's 11 o'clock, New York City on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Frau. Welcome to Insights. Friday Eve. Feels pretty good, huh? It's starting to feel like autumn is really arriving early. Happy to say that a little bit of the summer temperatures have come back, have returned, thankfully. Great conversations coming our way today. James Raffone, he is a father of a son who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This is the most progressive form of muscular dystrophy. And to date, there's no cure. There's no stabilizing drug. But he is a dominant force, James, the father. He is doing everything in his power to create education, raise money, to get a serum, and much more. We're going to meet James in a few minutes. Also going to meet Mary Bryan. She's an incredible person. She's vice president and founder of the Achilles Freedom Team of Wounded Veterans. And Achilles is amazing. They enable people with various types of disabilities to participate in mainstream running events in order to promote personal achievement. Dick Traum was the founder of Achilles back in the 70s, and Dick was the first above-the-knee amputee to participate in a New York City marathon. With a wooden leg, he ran around Central Park like six times because the marathon's 26 miles. Can you imagine that? And I think he still has that wooden leg because it's like that favorite pair of shoes or jeans that we all have. He loves it. Doesn't want to get rid of it. Dick Traum will not be here today, but we'll be talking about him. Mary will be filling in for him. And she does such a magnificent job as much more than her position. She's a cancer survivor, inspirational speaker, author. She's just a true humanitarian. So kind of a sigh of relief in Florida, you know, a little bit with how much more devastating it could have been. But still, the wake of millions of people still powerless. The cleanup, food, the islands in Houston. Oh, man. But there's some great stories that are coming out of it. I can't get into too much detail today because, Graham, we'll get some great conversations coming your way. But some things stand out to me. You know, first thing, when you think of the word chainsaw, you wouldn't think of the word nun in the same sentence, right? Well, in the wake of Irma, there's a chainsaw nun, Sister Margaret Ann, and she is in the Miami-Dade area, spotted some trees that are down in her street. People couldn't pass by. And so she realized that, listen, the cleanup has to begin, and she's got the means. So she's the principal of the Archbishop Coleman Carroll High School in downtown Miami. So she realized that in her closet, she has a chainsaw because every nun, of course, has rosary beads and chainsaws, right? I mean, that's what I grew up knowing. So she went in there. She fired up that bad boy. She went to work. Isn't that great? She started cutting down trees, clearing the road. And this was captured on video by an off-duty Miami-Dade police officer. Captured this whole video of this lumberjack nun, Sister Margaret Ann. And I think this is a great testament to willpower and resiliency. Like, listen, things got to be done. All hands on deck. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a habit, right? You don't have to wear flannel to be using a chainsaw. There's a lot of work to be done. So she said, quote, the road was blocked. We couldn't get things through. The chainsaw was in my closet. So off she went with a chainsaw in one hand and habit on her head. That's great. So the stories that are coming out, obviously these are the very positive ones. There are stories about, like, linemen. The linemen are really incredible. Linemen, of course, that are working for all the different power companies in different states, New Jersey, Connecticut, I know Massachusetts, a lot of southern states have all made caravans down to different areas, whether they went to Houston, and sometimes some of the Houston caravan linemen are actually going east to Florida to lend a hand because there are obviously simply not enough hands on deck with just the overall crews that are on the the employees of all the Florida different power companies, utility companies. So this is a great thing, and I just really applaud them for doing that because most of these guys, you know, they're married or certainly have a commitment, they have a life, but here they are. The power companies, utility companies are saying, hey, take our trucks, take our certain, like, you know, the pole carriers, the wagons, and they just loaded them up with materials and supplies. And they're saying goodbye. We'll be back whenever. It's interesting to have a job like that where you can actually just continue to do your work, but uproot yourself for humanitarian reasons, to restore power, you know, within a couple states away and just do the right thing. I just take my hat off to these guys. They're working 16 plus hours, and along with police officers, first responders. I'm just really just highlighting the linesmen because of a story I read that, you know, sometimes these guys obviously had to take some breaks. After working 16, 18 hour days, they're pulling up their trucks to anywhere they can get a sandwich, anywhere they can get food, and they're bombarded with people, understandably saying, like, where the hell is our power and when is it going to be restored? People are frustrated. You know, people are at the wit's end. Totally understandable. Then you got to realize, obviously, these guys are just operating on a thread. They have no sleep, minimal sleep. I'm sure their diets, just like everybody else, and are doing very intense work, you know, working with high voltage electrical, lines, transformers, you name it. So a lot of stories are coming out that, you know, they're getting a lot of grief, and I've only heard some positive things, about their reaction to people that are customers that are just really seeking to have that. But, you know, it's dealing with irate customers, and in any aspect, that's it's very, very difficult to do. So, of course, with Houston and Florida, the islands, you know, how much time is it going to take? And the reality is, like, how capable are we? The demands, like American Red Cross, what's the army? Oh my God, I'm blanking on a name. Teams go out and help locally. No. My producer's trying to help me out here. the service that's local, that helps within the confines of the United States. Red Cross. No, I said that. Not Coast Guard. It's the other one. Anyway, spacing out. But, I mean, what's the capacity? I mean, are they stretched completely thin? That's the reality. And the money. I'm all for having benefit concerts and reserve. That's what I'm talking about. Army Reserve that get sent out to different towns. But the manpower, at what point do we have enough manpower to service Houston, Florida, the islands? I mean, obviously, these are American colonies, some of these. And the devastation is just heartbreaking, really is heartbreaking. Wow. So I don't let my kids see the worst video, just, you know, during the storm, the winds, et cetera, but not the real devastation of things where it's really too gruesome. But I think as a parent, it's our duty to paint a picture of, like, who's really in charge, Mother Nature, and how important it is to be very thankful to, you know, what we have, no matter what classification, economic status you're in, because it can all change in a heartbeat. It really can. And it's living proof in the last, you know, 10 days of the aftermath of Houston, Florida, the Keys. Who knows how decimated the Keys are? And the islands. Bermuda, my Lord. St. Martin, all these towns that are uninhabitable. It's really, really eye-opening and frightening. And just goes to show you that the importance of taking climate change very, very importantly, how the Army Corps of Engineers and states, and more importantly, Congress, has to earmark money that we can protect the coastal ways, raising houses, making the proper adjustments in engineering design to update all these specific areas. I mean, there's certain areas that we've all read about that are way behind times, a few decades behind. And it's a shame because people, you know, don't have the means to move. And this is where they're kind of sticking it out for their life, and kind of respect that as well. But the reality is that, you know, if things keep coming in this force, I mean, this is, they said they were expecting this storm to be like one of the storms that comes every 100 years. And thankfully, it didn't pack that brutal, brutal force, which is a great thing. But the reality is we have to take precautions. We have to get prepared. And so the other thing I want to mention, there's a concert coming up next week, a benefit concert, and I'm one of these people who gets all warm and fuzzy for these benefit concerts because I love when people come together. Come together for any cause is a terrific thing. And to ask people to open their wallets and pocketbooks is also something actually we're going to be talking about later today with James Raffone from Muscular Dystrophy and his son. And that's a different level of giving. It's kind of a local level. It's a disease level. But it comes, I started just pontificating about our government and how much money we have. And I don't want to sound like some like radical liberal guy, but the reality is, you know, we have, you know, our budget right here for the United States. I mean, it's seemingly endless, right, in terms of our deep pockets. But it just kind of, and I don't say this loud too often, but I just kind of smile to myself when we do all these things for fundraising, yet when our U.S. government has, you know, the means, the funding. And it's great to have these concerts because it gives people a way, a method, a platform to come together and to help out. And I love that because after 9/11 happened, obviously, we're broadcasting. The Progressive Radio Network is in the heart of Midtown. I was only about 15, 20 blocks away at another New York FM terrestrial station at the time. We were in it. We were in it for the thick of it. I was there for 48 hours straight and countless stories there, reporting, et cetera. But I understand now how it feels to be so removed when calamities happen different parts of the United States or worldwide. You feel so kind of despondent and so removed, and the inability not to help is kind of frustrating. It's very frustrating. Like the first thing I did when I heard and saw the planes collide into the buildings, I saw the first one when I was walking into the building, my building, 9/11. And immediately I'm like, okay. After we realized, wow, this is a terrorist attack, I went to the local hospital, St. 14th Street, and went to give blood. So really, I mean, there's a lot of people who are just wired that way, and that's a great thing, because especially with social media nowadays, there's so many different ramifications, positive aspects of social media, and I think that's one of them, because we can automatically reach out to needs and causes that can be immediately addressed and directed, which is a great thing. So it just goes to show you that there are people in the music world, actors, celebrities that want to do the right thing. And that's a phenomenal aspect and way to lend a hand. But I'd just like to know more about like our ability to cover the manpower through Red Cross, through the different organizations, national organizations, through our company, country, I should say, the ability to cover all these different calamity sites. What can we do? Do they need more employees? Are they trained? You know, how well adept and how well prepared are we for multiple locations? I mean, it's kind of scary. I mean, who would have thought something like this would have happened? You know, but I mean, I guess that's a reality that we're possibly living in as climate change is definitely happening. I mean, many people are on board with it. Just a few, President Trump and a few of his constituents are disbelievers. But I think this is proof in the pudding for sure. The show is Inside. The radio network is the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. It's 13 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. In New York City, James Raffone, he's the founder and CEO of Jar of Hope. He's an incredible man. He has a son. He and his wife have three kids. His son, James Anthony, is 8 years old. But 4 years ago, he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy with a rarer form called Duchenne. And he's been doing everything in his power. He's a construction worker. He's a trailblazer. He's a father of strength and steel. And I welcome James Raffone to the show. James, how are you, my friend?
Mark, good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk.
Now, are you completing push-ups with one hand or are you using both hands and you have the phone on speaker right now? Or are you taking 10 minutes off?
Yeah, no, we're taking a few minutes off to spread the word about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. The push-ups, we're getting ready. We're gearing up for Saturday morning at iPlay America, and we're trying to break the Guinness Book of World Record for the largest group gathered to do push-ups at one time. And it's really a community thing. You were talking about the devastation in these areas thanks to Superstorm Irma. And we have our own storm here in Manalapan with Duchenne. We're fighting for my son, and I really appreciate the town of Freehold coming together to support our efforts to beat this disease that there's no cure of. After 200 years, there's still no cure.
So take us back to that day when your son was diagnosed. I believe his teacher indicated to you that he had difficulty keeping up. You got the diagnosis. You were on the floor, and I think you did a push-up or something to that degree, and you realized at that moment that's something possibly that your son or many more people who have Duchenne MS would not be able to do.
Well, the actual anniversary was yesterday, 4 years to the day that my son was diagnosed. And it was just a horrific day for my family and I to learn that my son has a disease that there's no cure for, and there's nothing I can do. There's nothing the medical community can do for him, and just to go home and love him. And it was the feeling was just heinous that, you know, my wife and I thought it would be best if we were just to end it all. And but needless to say, you know, that was a very, very dark place we were in at the time. And so the thought had come to me that my son, his body doesn't produce muscle tissue. And how ironic that everybody on a daily basis who go to the gym, they work out, they do push-ups as a technique or a tool to warm up. And my son will never be strong enough to do one. So it was a way for me. I started a campaign of 10 push-ups for $10. And it was a way to raise money to enter into the New York City Marathon back 3 years ago.
Without any prior training, correct, my friend?
Zero training. I was 260 pounds at the time, and I hadn't ran further than to my refrigerator. So it was a task.
Well, what better incentive than your son?
Well, that's the truth, you know, and I see how my son's body breaks down every day, and it occurred to me that I can run this marathon. I'll be in a great deal of pain afterwards, but my body will recover, and it's something that he'll never have the opportunity to do.
So you've been doing one of the programs 79 and 79 days, so that's 79 gyms in 79 days for 10 push-ups, $10, and this Saturday's event is a culmination of that. Please talk about that, please.
Yes, after 79 weeks, I've traveled around. I've done 179 seminars, and it was based on the science of the disease. The dystrophin gene is the largest gene in the human body, and that's where dystrophin is produced. And my son has a break in the on the gene at exons 46 and 47. So I decided in order to use this to teach people, because we quickly found out that nobody had heard of this disease and nobody would really donate because they didn't even know anything about it. So I set out on my campaign, and my quest was to hit 79 gyms in 79 weeks. And after a little over 37 months, we are finally bringing it to a head in Freehold, New Jersey. And the townspeople in Freehold, they just love this whole idea, and it just happens to be, thanks to Assemblyman Ron Dancer, we fought and got approved to have the first ever Duchenne Awareness Week in the state of New Jersey. So that was from September 7th to September 13th, and Saturday we're all going to come out and kind of celebrate all the efforts of all of these gyms that really got behind this cause. And it's really... It goes back to what you were saying about human nature. It's just so inspiring. It really is. I'm so grateful to everybody over the past 37 months that have come out and supported us. It's remarkable. It really
is. Well,
those
are two major feats, James. I mean, in honor of inaugural Duchenne Awareness Week in the state of New Jersey, as you said, through September 7th through the 13th, I mean, that recognition alone was the hard work and fruition of those months that you put in. And that obviously takes a toll. I mean, you have to run a family. You have two other offspring. You have a wife. You have to make money. Yeah. And we're going to be talking about other programs that you're doing. But it's a lot. It takes a toll physically, certainly, with all the physical activities that you're doing, and mentally. Now, how does your son, James Anthony, who is 8 years old, relate to this? Is he in the pocket of all this? How close to the vest do you keep this?
Well, he doesn't know of his diagnosis. He's 8 years old, and I don't know if he'd even be able to comprehend what he's going through. But the good and the bad of this is that he was 4 years old when he was diagnosed, so he always saw me in the house stretching and working out and doing some things. And we kind of related it to him that he has to do what daddy does, which the only therapies there really are is stretching to keep the muscle that he has and the ligaments and tendons flexible.
Great.
So his walk doesn't become awkward. His gait doesn't become awkward. So we do a lot of physical therapy thanks to some great people who support the foundation. And it's just remarkable at how, at 8 years old, he's walking, and he's walking very well.
And talk to me about the ultrasound therapy trial that you started doing a while back that was designed to enhance his natural healing process.
Well, after I ran the marathon, I had tons of trouble with myself, my body cramping and spasming and other things. And I had gone seen...
it's no wonder,
Tony
James.
Yeah.
260 pounds, no training for 26 miles. Are you nuts?
Yeah.
Sorry, I digress.
No, that's right. I'm more desperate. The Asbury Park Press had dawned me the desperate dad, which I truly am. And so I had a bunch of spasm and cramps in my back, and I went to see Dr. Esposito in D'Esposito in Staten Island, and he whipped out this machine, and he put some gel on my back, and he was using this wand, and he kept using the word cramp. Cramp, you've got these cramps, spasms. And I looked at him, I said, wait a minute, my son, as the doctors tell me, the reason he was walking on his toes is because his calves keep cramping and spasming, and it brings the heel up, so he's got no choice but to walk on his toes. So as I am in my personality, I looked at him and I said, I need to take this machine home with me tonight, and I need to use this on my son. And he was gracious enough that, after I had told him my son's plight, he accommodated. And so I took the machine home. I got him a regular PT, an OT, and a physician, and I put them together, and I said, I need you guys to check out my son's flexibility and his range of motion and record this.
And devise a program.
And so 90 days later, my son saw a 60% increase in motor function, which was truly historic. He was a one case study, but it's a truly historic moment for Duchenne and the fight against it, because no other child had ever undergone anything like that.
Fantastic. Now, to give some perspective to this, this is a 7 foot long, 3 foot wide, tube shaped chamber, and I believe you named it the James Rocket Ship or something of that nature.
Well, we have a hyperbaric chamber for him that we do dub the rocket ship, because when you're in it, it sounds just like being inside of a rocket ship, and that thunderous noise when a rocket ship takes off. So my son sleeps in this hyperbaric chamber thanks to the efforts of Dr. David Dornfeld in Middletown, New Jersey, a sheer genius, in this therapy. And we came together and devised a protocol to have him in this and to see what happens. And it's been just a little over 30 months, and he's the only child with Duchenne ever recorded to be inside a hyperbaric chamber. And we partnered with the University of Minnesota, and we are studying the Duchenne mouse model inside the hyperbaric chamber. And so far, we've got some positive data that the grip strength of the mice who are in the chamber over a longer period of time are stronger than the typical mice that are not in the chamber.
Fantastic.
And that discovery is fantastic. It really is.
You know, James, I take my hat off to you on several levels, because number one, not only are you just not giving up, you're doing something very, very profound. You're raising money. You're setting a great example for your son by being the change, the resilient person that you are and that you have to become and that your son has to become. But even more importantly is that you're actually impacting the future of Duchenne MS in terms of the positive and possibly finding a cure for it.
Yeah, we really are. And my resiliency is something that I want to show my daughters, because it's very easy to have this mentally beat you down to where, you know, there's doctors and the genius of the world are having a difficult time trying to find a cure for this for the past 200 years. So, you know, I'm not going to fool myself and say it's going to be me, but I want to teach my daughters that no matter what life throws at you, you can't just let it beat you. You have to, you have to get up, you have to do what you have to do, and you have to give up a good, you have to put up a good fight. And not only are we doing that, but unbeknownst to us, we're actually making a difference in this community. It's just been discovered as well that after being in a hyperbaric chamber, muscle stem cells regenerate after 21 days of therapy.
Fantastic.
Which is phenomenal.
Oh my
now,
God.
Now we got to take that therapy to the next level, and we got to figure out, do those muscle stem cells, are they being produced in children with Duchenne with or without dystrophin? And that could be a complete game changer, what we're finding out. It's just remarkable. It really is.
James Rifone is my guest. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. He is hosting Jar of Hope, their push-up world record event this Saturday at iPlayer America Field, New Jersey. 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 is a workout. 9:30 is going to be the setup for the Guinness World Record by largest group of people doing push-ups simultaneously for children who are not strong enough to do push-ups themselves. I want to go back to a moment ago, James, where you're talking about your daughters and the being a role model for resilience. Ages 14 and 12, I believe your daughters are?
Yes, sir.
What a vital time to have this role model. I mean, nobody wants to have MS in their family, but I mean, you're doing the absolute best case scenario that you can possibly do. And I'm sure it's very difficult for, obviously, you and your wife, but for your children, your two girls, who are in the thrust of it, not by choice. Nobody's in there by choice. But, you know, they're trying to live their lives as a normal 14 and 12-year-old, and seeing their father doing this and all the positive ramifications are great, but still, they still want to be your normal average 14 and 12-year-old. So it's tough overall.
It really is. And for your listeners, just not to confuse them, Duchenne is a form of muscular dystrophy, so it's MD.
Did I misspeak? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. MS is a neurological disease.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
yes, of course. I'm sorry about that.
It's slightly different.
Yes, but, of course. Yep.
Nonetheless, yeah, my daughters are at a very pivotal age themselves, right, where they're learning not only about themselves, but the different dynamic as a parent and child relationship. And so I couldn't lose my daughters because I was so ingrained in trying to find a cure for my son, where I tried to get involved with their extracurricular activities in school, some sports, coaching their softball teams. And, you know, thank God we have a very strong family unit, and we're doing the best we can. You know, there's really no instructional manual when you get a diagnosis of a terminal child and how to behave and what to do. But this is all I do know how to do as a New Yorker. You know, I fight. And I'll fight to my last breath.
It's in your DNA, my friend. So after Saturday's worldwide push-up Guinness World Record-breaking event, which I have no doubt is going to take place with at least 2,000 people, you can log on to jarofhope.org, jarofhope.org, to register. If you're not in the area, if you live in Amsterdam, you live in California, or you live in Florida, and you have access to the web, and you don't have any cleanup to do, donate $20 or more, whatever you can do. But more importantly, or just as important, I should say, on Sunday, you're not going to kick back and relax and look at that great World Guinness Book accolade that you earned. You're off to Utah for the Grand to Grand Ultra, 170-mile trek for 6 stages over 7 days. No grass grows under your feet.
No. There's no time yet to enjoy all of the little milestones that we accomplish. This record is for our supporters that have been with us from day one. This is for them, for everybody coming together. And, you know, it's my way of giving back, especially to the people in Freehold. Nonetheless, after that, we have a nationwide push-up campaign, Hands on the Floor, Duchenne No More. And it's just the next step of our push-up campaign that we're taking to high schools. Those seminars that I mentioned earlier that I do, schools have invited me to come because they want children to learn of this disease. You know, it could be middle school, could be high schoolers, nonetheless. So when I go out to Utah, before I tackle the G2G, which is known as the Grand to Grand, I'll be doing push-ups with two high schools. I will be doing push-ups with four gyms out there, and then I will be setting out into the desert to run 170 miles over 7 days.
And just flash forward backwards in time, when you were 260 pounds heavier, or 260 pounds, I should say, and 4 years ago, and look at what you've accomplished on so many different levels.
Yes, thank you. It's truly remarkable. And I got to say thank you to Governor Cuomo of New York. Thanks to the hard work of Assemblyman Mike Cusick and James Otto, Borough President James Otto. Out there in Staten Island, through the efforts of Rosario Miano, an English teacher, who is just proof of one person what he can do, by inviting me into the school and having a seminar with his high school, we did push-ups with 490 kids, 2 years in a row.
Love it.
And the politicians took notice as to what these high schoolers were doing. So right away, Borough President James Otto declared May 31st as Duchenne Awareness Day in the state, in the borough of Staten Island. And then Assemblyman Mike Cusick pushed it one step further and said, hey, these kids deserve a whole week. And so what they did was they approached Governor Cuomo and they passed a resolution to have September 10th to the 16th, as known as the first ever Duchenne Awareness Week in the state of New York, because there are kids in the state of New York who have Duchenne as well. So this is not about exclusion. Jar of Hope is trying to include and bring together the entire Duchenne community to fight this monster of a disease, regardless of what stage of life these kids are at.
And what an incredible proclamation to have. Things like that, a milestone like that, obviously really underscores your effort and the fruition of how much you've accomplished in the 4 years, just 4 years that you've been doing this. I know it probably seems like a lifetime for you, those 4 years, but you really can't take that lightly, you and your wife and all that you work, and I'm sure you have some assistance. But again, this is happening this Saturday at 8 to 9 to work out, 9:30 for the push-up. We need 2,000 people to do only 10 push-ups, correct?
That's correct. We tried. This is going to be our third event to break this record. And right now, just so all the listeners know, the record is in the United Emirates. It's not even in the United States. So this is going to be for more than one reason than just the boys with Duchenne. 2 years almost to the day when the record was only 600, we brought out 1,104 people to break the record. Now, Guinness didn't award us the record because it rained that morning and you needed to have an aerial shot overhead in order for them to review the films and see exactly how many people you had there. So they didn't award us the record. So 3 weeks
technicalities.
Right. So there's a laundry list of stuff if you don't pay to have a Guinness rep come out. So 3 weeks later, our supporters said, hey, we want to break this record. Let's do it again. So we paid to have a Guinness rep come out. The rep stood there in front of now. It was the record had changed, believe it or not. It went up to 700. So we had another obstacle to overcome. And it's very, very reminiscent of this battle against Duchenne, that there's always an obstacle to overcome.
Interesting.
So our people came out, our supporters came out, and then sadly enough, the rep disqualified 18 people and said they did not do push-ups correctly because you got to do them for 1 minute. And believe it or not, it put us below the record by 4 people.
Well, that's all going to change this Saturday, my friend, so don't you worry. We're going to meet the 2,000 mark and surpass that. JarOfHope.org. That's JarOfHope.org. And I'm happy to see that you got Ron Brooks, a good friend of mine, double amputee, Eagle Scout, the only one out there. And boy, can he sing. I've had him at many, many events, and he just leaves people's mouths agape.
Yeah, it's really special to have someone like him be there that day as well to help sing the national anthem. And he does have a great set of pipes. You're absolutely correct. The man can sing.
James Erfone, it was a great pleasure having the honor of meeting you, unfortunately, through this this life path that we've come across, but we're doing the best of it. And I imagine you and your wife, through the love and devotion that you have for your son, is stronger than and more mightier than any disease could ever possibly do to anyone.
Thank you.
All the best to you, my friend. Please.
If I can, real quick, I would like to thank CKO of Freehold, High Net Beauty, as well as Freehold Ford, and Freedom Mortgage for helping us put this event together, because without them, we would be still scrambling. So I really, and yourself and Lori Wing for making this all happen today. It's fantastic. And everybody listening, the Jar of Hope supporters, thank you. As you guys have seen me write, together we will find a cure.
James, stay strong and healthy, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Insight continues right after this.
Your best choice for voices outside the mainstream. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
The original personal computer radio show featuring Hank Key and Joe King on all things computing can be heard each Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, on the Internet at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in each week as we help you with your personal computing.
Hey, it's Paul Cavalcante, host of The Vinyl Experience, bringing you a new spin on a classic technology that just keeps getting bigger. Vinyl records are in, and The Vinyl Experience is the original radio show that tells their backstory, one revolution at a time. Join me Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM and anytime in the archives.
Crackle, crackle. Pop, pop.
The Vinyl Experience on PRN.FM.
We're back in New York City, in Midtown, in the lavish Progressive Radio Network studios. My name is Mark Farrell. Thanks for hanging out every Thursday at this time. My pleasure to welcome Mary Bryant. Mary Bryant and I met, oh, geez, back in 1996, 97. She's an abdominal person. Celebrating 20 years with Achilles International, she's a vice president and founder of Achilles Freedom Team of Wounded Veterans, cancer survivor, inspirational speaker, author, true humanitarian, and easy on the eyes. Hey, Mary, how you been?
Well, I think we all welcome anything that's, as you say, easy on the eyes right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, so much devastation we faced in our country. And, you know, a lot of the talking that I do comes out of how do we take our own personal crisis and use it to help other people. And it's interesting to be at Achilles for 20 years because that's when I first brought my brother here to New York City. He tripped and fell running at our house in Cleveland, Ohio, and became paralyzed from the neck down. And he was only 16 years old. So we lived a different kind of a life. But, you know, I was never so moved to realize how many people are living with disabilities, aging, whether it's diseases, accidents.
Mm-hmm. Especially invisible disabilities.
Yeah. And things of violence.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
And they're just caught in their homes. So it's very exciting to start inviting other people to come out and focus on the strengths you have and
absolutely.
What you can do.
Going back to your brother, with that accident, he became the first person to participate in New York City Marathon, complete it in a chair, correct?
Well, there are many people who do the marathons in wheelchairs.
Yes.
What made my brother different,
unique.
God bless him, is because he was paralyzed from the neck down, the
That's
only
right.
strength he had was to push his head back into the headrest of the
Fantastic.
Chair.
Fantastic. And what year was this?
This was 1997.
Wow.
And people thought, oh, how great you pushed your brother. Nope.
Nope.
He pushed himself. When he pushed his head into the headrest, it moved.
Your brother's name?
Don.
Don.
And when Don stopped pushing, the chair stopped moving. So it truly was his marathon mm-hmm. challenge for 26.2 miles.
Wow. Incredible. And when was your first marathon? You have 10 under your belt.
I haven't seen you in a few years.
I know.
I have 11 under my belt.
You got to update that bio, girl.
Well, the last one came because I had gotten married, so I wanted a finisher certificate with the new name. But the very first one, it was in 1994, and I never thought I could run a marathon,
even with the training. That was my first year.
Was it really?
Yeah. We didn't know each other back then. How about that?
No. And then to find out how we can take situations that we have and help other people. And, you know, you having this show and just getting a message out to somebody who's sitting there and thinking, well, you know, my life is hopeless or I can't do this or this hurts or that hurts. And instead of saying, well, what can I do?
And that's the foundation of Achilles. It's about sport, but it's not solely about sport because that's the template. But it's about giving people the confidence to do anything they can do in life or want to do.
Yes, and we're in the midst of doing marathons all around the country. As you know, October is a busy month for us. We start out with Detroit Marathon, Chicago Marathon. We move to Marine Corps Marathon. And then finally, the big one here in New York City, the New York City Marathon, where we have a lot of our athletes with disabilities and many of our wounded veterans who do come here and
now,
take on the challenge.
Sorry for interrupting, Mary Bryant McCourt, that it's been years since I've been part of the Achilles at the starting line. But I remember years ago when I was with We Media, and we'll discuss We Media in a few minutes, I went there and interviewed so many at the Verrazano Bridge. And they were just so stoked. And I'd say there were, maybe 100 or so athletes. Is there a ballpark number you have for the New York City Marathon for Achilles attendees now?
Well, we've gotten as high as 500 athletes
Fantastic.
In the marathon. But this year, I think we're close to about 200.
Fantastic.
We operate freely on donations and underwriting because membership is free. So a lot of people right now, they're working to fix their house or their car or deal with different issues. But I still say, you know, what do we have? What can we give? Who can we help? I'm getting ready. After I leave here today, I'm flying down to Florida.
No, after you leave here, we're going out drinking.
We're going out to have
a nice lunch. I mean, that's what I mean.
No, heading down to Florida, and there's just so much devastation.
Yeah. And where you're based now, correct?
Yes, I'm based in Palm Beach, Florida, and I still don't even know if the house is still there, or whatever. But challenges come in our life, and whether it's your home or your job or your family or your brother, your sister, or even yourself. I remember getting that diagnosis of cancer. You know, it's out there. Everybody's got cancer. And I never expected it to be me. But you can live through things, and I've just fallen in love with helping other people realize what they do still have, what they can still do.
You've always had that spirit, though, since I've met you.
Yeah, a lot of other things I don't do very well, but
well,
I do.
If you don't do anything else well, that's okay, because the ability to impact people's lives positively, as a speaker, as a person
Absolutely.
Who's been with Achilles and other organizations, you're on the Disabled Athletes Foundation. What's the name of the organization?
Well, I'm on U.S. Wheelchair Sports.
Yes.
And then also, as you know, the vice president and founder of the Achilles Freedom Team here. But I think what's important is to recognize we're all dealing with tragedy in some form or another. I think right now our country has come more toward embracing each other because of the hurricanes. And
it needed to.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel that it's as though God has allowed these things to happen because he needs to bring suffering.
No.
I think there was so much hate that he realizes we need to step back and remember we're all people. We all have pluses, we all have shortcomings. And it's not until we stop and help each other in any situation the best we can that we're going to bring ourselves back to a country of strength.
And Mother Nature is the one who's truly in charge, regardless who's in the White House. Wall or no wall. Anyway, I digress. So I want to talk about the founder, Dick Traum, a little bit, because Dick is a very colorful man. He was in the business world in computer software, I believe, for years.
Personal metrics.
Mm-hmm. Way ahead of the curve. And he was the first disabled person to run a marathon, I believe, with a wooden leg that took place around Central Park. And does he still have that same leg? Can you tell us
that
he does?
I think we've saved that leg for archive purposes, but
he was in the Smithsonian, hopefully?
Not yet. But
it was
the first man with a prosthetic leg to actually complete the 26.2 miles.
When it was still in Central Park.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
In its earliest forms.
And that was back in 1976.
And that was the epiphany he had. You know, that's amazing. And all these years later, and how many different countries is Achilles International in?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, Dick is the spirit behind all this. And
even
it started with,
his bad jokes.
A few. Yes. And, but he loves his jokes. And sometimes you almost have to love him even more because he really wants you to laugh.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
But, we're in over 60 countries around the world. We've got an incredible staff in the office, a small staff, but incredible staff of people.
Quite capable
who
staff.
Who really care about what we're doing. And it really is seeing someone who... Again, I can't say it enough. It's we are strong. You know, sometimes we just do things in different ways. And I say those who can't run, they walk. And those who can't walk, they roll. But together we got to finish that finish line, you know, and come across and throw our arms up and say, thank you, it's over. And then what's the next challenge?
Now, I know something that's very, very close to your heart, has always been since I've known you, is the military personnel. So Achilles Freedom Team serves wounded military personnel and veterans. I remember you saying, I'm going off to Walter Reed Hospital. And you've done so much. You've accomplished so many vast programs there. Talk about that, please.
Well, you know, I'm impressed with how many people since 9/11 have stepped up to join the military. My dad was in the Army. My brother was in the Air Force. My husband was a Marine. But now I have a nephew that was in the Army, another nephew that's in the Navy, and most recently my middle sister's boy. He just signed up for the Army. We're living in a different time. And it just brings it so close to home that these are people who are willing to die for us. They are willing to follow the rule and the protocol to go anywhere and do what we need for safety. And when they get hurt or if something happens to them, I love that through Achilles, we're able to just be there and provide endowed wheelchairs or the
opportunity. Services and opportunities.
Yeah, that it's there already. You know, we don't need to go through a process of paperwork and committees mm-hmm. and approvals. And
get you there. What's your interest?
Yeah. Well, one of the biggest joys is seeing people like double amputee Tammy Duckworth laying in her hospital bed, not knowing where she is, what's happening next. And as you know, she's become very accomplished. But when I mentioned to her doing the marathon, you know, they're kind of like, well, geez, you know, ma'am, I've lost my legs.
Haven't you noticed?
But they get out there and they feel that strength.
Well, it's a driving force.
Oh, my
gosh. It's a goal to ascertain. I mean, especially when these are military people, they're very physical and very, very driven mentally. And that's a great goal for them to get out of that facility, hospital, institution, wherever they are, and to do something to open doors for something that they can achieve, which will open other doors for them personally and professionally.
Exactly. That's it. It's the achievement. There's a lot of wonderful organizations doing things a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Achilles is focused in bringing this mainstream sports to our wounded veterans and people living with disabilities because that's specifically what we do. It's not a handout. It's not a here, we feel sorry for you, you're the hero, and you know we're just going to give you something. It's instead of that, we're challenging them to say, what can you do?
And or what first, would you like to do, and we'll make you do it, help you do it.
Well, some of them, they think they want to do a, you know, do a race, and next thing you know, we talk them into a half, and before you know it, they're running a full and going, look at me. Yes, yes, they're doing triathlons.
Achilles have grown.
But the point is, it's allowing them to take the challenge and build their strength to set a goal and to move forward. It's not just saying, I feel bad because I've been hurt and now all my brothers and sisters are still out there fighting and I'm here and you're going to set me up. Granted, there's a lot of good things being done for these people, but what I take pride in with Achilles is it's almost the opposite direction in that we don't give to them. We want them to give us. Give us a goal.
They
give us some
you.
Training. Mm-hmm. Give us that race. I want to see you come across that finish line. I want that medal around your neck with your spouse and your kids
beaming
and your parents,
smile.
Everybody to see that medal.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really
and,
is.
And what a better time with technology at its utmost for people with disabilities because chairs, hand crank cycles, the lightness, the strength, the durability has never been greater. And it's phenomenal.
And even some who initially, even if they've started out in a hand crank, Mark, they're running now. We've got quite a few. They're running on their prosthetic legs. It takes time because it takes time initially even just to adapt, but then to build up your distance. And
to see them run down a track on a cheetah foot. Unbelievable. I remember the first time I saw that.
It's
mind-boggling.
Well, it's great because for them, they were confined in a wheelchair, and now all of a sudden they're out and they're moving on their own again. And it's just getting them to feel independent and strong and the potential that they have, not just personally, but professionally. Guys who have lost both legs and they do a marathon or two, and next thing you know, they're getting married and having children. I mean, it speaks volumes.
Feeling whole again.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I love it so much. And following the lives of some of these people over the years has been just tremendous.
Yeah. And even starting from just the, it sounds simple, but I'm gonna use the word simple. The simple workouts that started in Central Park years ago, every weekend, and then possibly happening during the week now, but that gives all these athletes a chance. Maybe the first timers or the guys who are the seasoned, maybe mentors going out with hand crank cycles, or the blind runner who's running with a volunteer who's trying to get out of work from working on Wall Street at 6 o'clock to go be a tetherer. The love and the commitment is boundless.
Oh, and it really helps everyone, because once you come into the team of Achilles, which does put the able-bodied guides alongside those living with disabilities, it is such a family that is focused on togetherness and pushing each other. It doesn't even...
Each other, too.
Absolutely.
I'm just aware of that because the volunteers and the guides get as much or maybe even more.
Absolutely.
Because they're able-bodied.
They can't believe what some of these athletes are going through.
Yeah.
It's astounding, and it's great, and it just means so much to have met Dick Traum 20 years ago and to still be out there and making a part of all this happen. You know, I've tried to retire. And Dick said, no, you can't. And I said, you know.
With vital programs that you're creating and initializing, instituting, like school programs, talk about those, because those are, I mean, as you know, I speak at schools to all populations, especially special education students with disabilities, cognitive, physical, et cetera. And to go in there and see their faces light up because they get it. Oh, I get it, because I had struggles. I have challenges. They're all different. Maybe they're very similar. But at the end of the day, we are powerful, more powerful. My difference is, my mantra is, my difference makes me stronger. And have Achilles go into schools and promote positivity through hard work and determination, again, is priceless.
Yeah, well, it's not only the positivity and hard work. It's visibility. So long ago, people hid, and there's still people hiding.
And also people are doing the hiding. Schools.
Yes.
They don't want to be
in
the front and center.
And so by coming out and then bringing the Achilles program into mainstream, it helps answer the questions of the other people who don't know what to say or how to act. But when you see someone who's blind or maybe autistic or who has a prosthetic and they're accomplishing things, you know, it really, it's almost like I'm speechless.
It underscores it's everything that you and everyone at Achilles does.
It answers questions.
Yeah.
It makes it more real, more tangible, and less scary. And we're ahead in the United States, and I'm hoping that we can build this up in a lot of other countries around the world. Because when we travel, there's a lot of places that they're not as friendly or helpful to people with disabilities, even though we are still fighting every day, all the time, different issues.
Well, it's a good point you bring up, Mary Bryant McCourt, because the perception of people with disabilities, persons with disabilities in other countries, are far less favorable than they are here in certain countries and part of the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's very difficult, what you alluded to.
And that was the best thing that I did, is when I took my brother out on that race course back in 1997. You know, because of all his situations with paralysis, he had 87 surgeries. And most people looked at us and our family like, what a poor guy. How sad. And do you know, when it finally came time, after 87 surgeries, that he was ready to let go, do you know how wonderful it was to look into his eyes and said, you made history?
Wow.
I said, you did it. No one else can take that away from you. He was the first man without use of his arms or legs to do the New York City Marathon. And with that, he peacefully passed away that night. And I said, that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
No life is meant to go unnoticed. No life is meant to be hidden.
Or have regret without trying, at least in some capacity.
Absolutely.
You may not succeed every time. We can't all the time.
Well, you start with where you are. Dick always called it, you just go from this lamppost to that lamppost. And next time, it's a little bit further. You know?
And that's where it starts. I mean, we all need goals and whether there's a course in life. But I always say you don't sit in the sidelines of life. I mean, take part. And no matter what capacity, you know, because it's a cliche, but it's short. Whether you have a disability or not, whether you're part of Achilles, I've never heard of Achilles, it doesn't matter. Just there's got to be some way that you can give back, you know, and I think that's vital. So in terms of the overall programs, have any of your athletes gone to the Paralympics?
Absolutely.
Countless, right?
Now you can get me all powered up and excited.
Well, first one was in Sydney, right, in 2000?
Well, yes, first Paralympics that I went to. And it just, talk about empowering, seeing people given a chance to show how strong and indomitable that they are competing in something like that. And while Achilles is for everyone, of every skill and every level, we are proud of our athletes who have gone on in rowing, in cycling, in
marathons.
Triathlons, I'm trying
now
to think. What's the one that you shoot the goal across the ice?
Oh, God, I'll never remember that name. I have no idea. I never watch it, but I know what you mean.
Sorry, Jackie. I mean, it's just... We love that they have the capacity to go that far. And again, I just have to say, at any level, at any distance, we do this all on just the generosity of people who can help us out.
So, and we don't have much more time, Mary Bryant McCourt, but tell me about the sponsors very quickly. You have an event or two a year to raise money, and that's pretty much it, and you work on funds.
Yeah, we do a dinner just before the marathon. We've got great sponsorships with Cigna and General Motors, along with many, many others who step up. But would you believe the majority of the donations come from just the population across the United States and even internationally who said, wow, you're doing real stuff. We don't have big staff and big office building,
pretty
but we're out there doing really good things. And so we made it easy so that everyone can go to their mobile phone and they can just type in 243-725 and text the words, go Achilles.
243-275.
243-725. 243-725. Go Achilles. And any amount, it's able to go right into our account where it's just going directly to programs to help these men and women
who need hand crank chairs, who need all different supplies, running. I remember you guys donated a bunch, or somebody donated a bunch, hundreds of running sneakers for you guys.
We still try to do the sneakers for the children.
That's it, yeah.
If during the course of a school year, they're able to get through tracking each bit that they're running, by the end of the year, if they've tracked 26.2 miles, they're awarded a pair of running shoes. So once again, we're looking for underwriters to make sure that we can continue all this to go forward. But Mark, it's been so good to see you.
AchillesInternational.org, AchillesInternational.org. And Mary, I can't believe it's possible that after the terrorist attacks on September 11th, you and I co-hosted an event. I think it was a Freedom Run on the West Side Highway. Mm-hmm. And it was just a moving event because that was the first time I think people had really come together in a mass setting and to have and to host something so significant, whereas athletics, Achilles, and I believe Ken Podziba's mayor's office, the sports commissioner.
Right.
It was a great event, and you have been not slowing down at all with Achilles in every aspect of your life, and I take my hat off to you and respect to you. Kudos to you, and keep up the hard work. And to Dick Trom, work on some new material. My name is Mark Farrell. This has been Insight. If you'd like me to speak at your school, college, or corporation, check out markfarrellmotivation.com. Markfarrellmotivation.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks.